Blog Talk Radio.
Mardi Gras, put your hands together. Got joy in my soul. God is in control. I got Satan on my trail, but I'm singing all is well. He's attacking every day, but I'm watching while I pray. No matter the attack, I won't turn back. This means war.
Praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord. Yes, you are once again tuned into Are You a Liability or an Asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show. I am your host, Brother James Brown Jr., and we do come to you live from Hopper Woods, Michigan, each and every Thursday and Saturday night from 8 o'clock until 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. On tonight, we have none other than Overseer Joseph E. Jackson. Once again, he will be delivering God's word. As I always let you all know, please, and especially for the first-time listeners, please get your Bibles, your pens and paper ready so that you can follow along as we go through God's word together. God's word lets us know that my people perish because of the lack of knowledge. So it's important that you have your Bibles to be able to follow along. We're getting ready to go into prayer. I'm asking all those of you that are believers in Jesus Christ and the power of prayer, touching and agreeing with me on tonight as we approach God's throne of grace once again on tonight. Heavenly Father, here we are, your children, your saints, coming together once again, knowing and realizing that you are God and you are God all by yourself. And you are the great I am. You are the Most High God. You are in total control at all times, and we know that all power in heaven and in earth is in your hands. For this we are grateful in the name of Jesus. We come now, Heavenly Father, asking that you will forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions, starting with myself, my entire family, Overseer Joseph E. Jackson and his entire family, and every saved believer all over the land. Forgive us of all of our sins and transgressions in the name of Jesus. We know that your word lets us know and reminds us that all have sinned and come short of your glory. So that's why we are so grateful for your son, Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior and soon coming King, that we can first and foremost be saved in his name. And then when we do sin and fall short of your glory, we can come through him and be forgiven of our sins and transgressions so that our work for you on earth would not be in vain. And then we can also move forward and complete our God assignments that you have assigned to each one of us in the name of Jesus. Now, Heavenly Father, we come lifting up all those that are sick and afflicted all over the land. I continue to lift up my cousin, Ken Hogue. Heavenly Father, that he fell and broke both of his shoulders. We know that the enemy was trying to take him out, but thank God he did not hit his head, but he has gone through surgeries on both shoulders. But he's home now recuperating, so we continue to lift him up to you. And my cousin, Mary Ann, who had low blood pressure and finally found blood in her urine, but thank God she's at home now recuperating. Not only them, but all those that are sick and afflicted all over the land, those that are dealing with PTSD orders and those that have suicidal thoughts and dealing with mental depression on tonight. Touch, heal, and deliver, Heavenly Father. And I lift up my sister, Gertha Dean, on tonight, who's having stomach issues and dealing with other issues. So we lift them all up to you right now in the name of Jesus, knowing that you are our healer. You are the one that restores us. And we give you glory, honor, and praise for your healing power, because we know that you're still watching over your word to perform it in the lives of your people all over the land. We even lift up all of brothers and sisters on Facebook and social media that are dealing with issues and health problems, and those that are bereaved all over the land. Continue to touch them, Heavenly Father. Continue to let them feel your peace, your joy, your strength, and your presence, even as they go through the hour of bereavement. And we pray that you would touch their hearts today, but always looking to the hills from which cometh their help. And, oh God, we know that earth still has no sorrow, that heaven cannot heal. So comfort and strengthen all those that are bereaved on tonight, as well as continue to touch, heal, and strengthen those that are sick and afflicted in the name of Jesus, that through it all, they will look to the hills and give you the glory, honor, and praise. And after they have been healed and delivered and set free, they will give you the glory and honor and praise and not be ashamed to be a witness. Let the world know that it's you who have healed them and delivered them and set them free in the name of Jesus. We come now, Heavenly Father, asking that you move by your spirit on tonight. Touch those that may be listening by phone or those that are on social media listening to this worldwide platform on tonight that are not saved in Jesus' name. It's our prayer, our hope, and desire that something will be said through your man of God on tonight that will touch their hearts, that they will hear your word. And after hearing your word, they will receive your word. And then after receiving your word, they will call upon the name of Jesus with their own mouth, asking what must they do to be saved. And they would ask him to come into their hearts and save them even on tonight. And once they are saved in Jesus' name, they will come to know and walk in and live in and fulfill their own individual, God, for your glory in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, we pray that you will help us to decrease on tonight so that you may increase in us. Continue to bless every worldwide listener that faithfully tunes into this worldwide platform, even those that are listening in for the first time on tonight all over the land. Bless them. Grant them the desires of their hearts that will give you glory, honor, and praise. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Have your way, Lord, that you will get the glory. And for this, we give you glory, honor, and praise in advance. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Well, on tonight, we do have another scripture full of thought. And it's very simple. It comes to us saying, Jesus is essential. Enough said. Once again, tonight's spiritual food of thought. Jesus is essential. Enough said. I do welcome all comments and feedback from listeners. You can always email me at james_brown1558@yahoo.com or on Facebook. Please take note that I do not own the copyrights to any songs or music played on this worldwide ministry or platform. In the form of announcements, I pray that you have your pens and paper ready, because we are getting ready to go into a new month, and God has opened doors that I have even new men and women of God that has never brought his word forth over this worldwide platform. He has opened doors and let me come in contact with other brothers and sisters in Christ that will be sharing God's word over this worldwide platform and ministry in the month of March. But for the continuation in the following weeks in February, as we all know, we have Overseer Joseph E. Jackson out of Washington, D.C., will be delivering God's word very shortly on tonight. This coming Saturday night, we normally have the Sunday School Superintendent of the Morning Star Baptist Church, where Pastor Isaiah Sherman Jr. is the pastor and shepherd. We normally have the Superintendent, Eddie Blakely, normally brings forth God's word, but I have a special guest. On this coming Saturday night, Brother William Cobbs will be my special guest. Normally, every fourth Thursday night, we have Prophetess Sherry Walker Shy out of Conyers, Georgia normally brings forth God's word every fourth Thursday night, but I have a special guest, my new pastor and shepherd, Pastor Mark C. Holloway. He is the pastor of the Peace and Goodwill Baptist Church, which is located in Harper Woods, Michigan. Again, my new pastor and shepherd, Pastor Mark C. Holloway, will be delivering God's word on the fourth Thursday night in February. And finally, the last Saturday night in February the 26th, my first cousin, Pastor Norman King, he is the pastor of the Victors Outreach Ministries, which is located in Greensboro, North Carolina. He will be delivering God's word on the fourth Saturday night of February. I thank God for opening doors for my older sister, Janice Nielsen. She has been blessed to write a book. For those of you that may be interested in her book, or for those of you that may be in a mixed marriage, such as her and her husband, for almost 40 years now, they still deal with people that are not in agreement with their marriage, but God has blessed her to write a book because they do have one daughter, and I'm sure she experienced some racial discrimination as a young girl growing up. So my older sister has written a book called Belinda. So if you are in a mixed marriage, or if you know of someone that's in a mixed marriage and have children that are dealing with these issues and social issues, this book titled Belinda, published now and is available at Amazon.com. My older sister's name is Janice Nielsen. The last name is N-I-E-L-S-E-N, Janice Nielsen. She has written this children's book for those of you that may be in a mixed marriage and have mixed children. So it would be a blessing to you and your children as well. So right now, we're going to go to our music break. And following the music break, we're going to come back and we're going to yield the mic to none other than Overseer Joseph E. Jackson, an awesome, powerful man of God who's going to deliver God's word on tonight. And once again, know that he comes forth over this worldwide platform delivering God's word every third Thursday night, delivering a word from the Lord. Enjoy the music break.
Cover me, Lord, with thy spirit. Oh, cover me, Lord, with thyself. Cover me, Lord, with thy presence. Oh, cover me, Lord, with thy breath. Cover me, Lord, with thy spirit. Oh, cover me with thyself. Oh, cover me with thy presence. Hey, oh. Oh, cover me. If you cover me, I'll be protected. If you cover me, I'll be shielded. Oh, cover me. I don't want to be exposed anymore. Cover me. Oh, cover me. Under shadow of the Almighty, I need to be covered today. Oh, cover me. Oh. With thy Hallelujah. My soul says yes. Yes. Come on, lift your voice and say it. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Somebody open your mouth and begin to bless the name of the Lord. Come on, bless him. Come on, bless him.
Yes, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord on tonight. Yes, cover me, Lord. Aren't you grateful on tonight to know that once you're saved in Jesus' name, that we're covered by the blood of Jesus, and that nothing can pluck us out of his hands. So right now, we are ready to receive God's word by none other than Overseer Joseph E. Jackson out of Washington, D.C. I now yield the mic to you.
All right. We honor the Lord tonight for the privilege of being with you one more time. We thank you for the moderator of this tremendous program, and we certainly thank God for your giving us an opportunity to bring the word of God one more time. We bless God and we praise him. We magnify and glorify his name. I had to smile because you play Cover Me, Lord. That's a song that we play every Sunday morning just before we get ready to go into our time of prayer. And we certainly need
wow.
to be covered. Close.
Yes, Lord.
I tell people all the time, before you go out of the house now, you better cover yourself with the blood, asking God
Amen.
To protect you, because you don't know where a stray bullet is. We were listening
That's
to the
right.
news the other night, and a young boy had been picked up by his mother. And they were in the car, and they were on their way to a birthday party. And as they were passing another car, somebody else shot a gun. They were shooting at somebody else and shot the woman in her head. And that kid saw his mother kill. And
Lord Jesus.
You better ask God to protect you and to keep you as you get ready
yes.
to go out into the streets. Because the Bible said we live in perilous. And that word perilous
oh,
means we live in dangerous times. And the Bible said in the last days, these would be the times in which we would live. And so that word cover me means something. Cover me as I go
yes.
to the job. Cover me as I stand on the street corners. Cover me as I'm on the buses. Cover me as I'm on the trains. Cover me while I'm in my car. Cover me on my job. Lord, just cover me. Keep me.
Yes.
Keep me. Keep me. Keep
yes,
me.
Lord.
Because, see, when I start talking about cover, I get excited. Father God, we thank you, we praise and we magnify and we glorify your name. We bless you for your goodness and your kindness. We thank you for watching over us another day. We thank you, God. It's been another day's journey, and we're so happy and glad about it. We thank you that you've kept us from all hurt, harm, or danger. We thank you that the death angel did not ride through our homes last night. We thank you that none of us were rushed to hospitals. We had no strokes, no heart attacks. And so, God, we just say thank you, thank you, thank you. You've kept us all day long, Father. You blessed us, and we're just so grateful just to come tonight to hear a word from heaven. Somebody needs to hear from you. Somebody needs to know, Father, that it's going to be okay. They're going through trials and tribulations. The pandemic has got people all messed up. But God, we say right now, speak to the hearts of your people. Speak to the hearts of your people right now, God. Those that are concerned, those that are upset, those that are disturbed, we ask you to help them now in the name of
yeah.
Jesus. Father, we ask that you just watch over us, protect us, and keep us right now. Let the flow of God move. Less of us and more of you, God. Spirit of the living God, speak to our hearts tonight. Speak to our hearts tonight, God. Just speak to our hearts tonight, and we will. We will be glad, and we will be grateful. We're so grateful for all you've done. And we're just saying, be with us now. In Jesus' name, rebuke the devil. Rebuke the devil,
yes,
God, and help us to go forward in your word. Lord, let the people's minds become fertile that they might hear the word, oh God, and be blessed by what we're getting ready to do. In Jesus'
yes.
name we pray and we thank you. And amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Glory. 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 You have to forgive me because I've discovered that when you start to spend more time with God, the Spirit of the Lord will start messing with you during the course of a prayer. And I just had to tell him thank you. Listen, I want you to get your Bibles. We want to go to Matthew, the 18th chapter. We want to look at verses 21 and 22. That's Matthew, the 18th chapter, verse 21 and 22. I'm going to talk about the power of forgiveness. The power of forgiveness. We got to learn how to forgive. The power of forgiveness. Then Peter came to him and asked, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? Seven times? No. Jesus replied, not seven times, but 70 times seven. 70 times seven. The Lord dropped this thought into my mind one day. I was watching, looking at Facebook, and somebody had dropped a post, and it just resonated in my spirit. It became a rhema word. A rhema word, and they simply said, every time you remember, forgive again.
Yes,
every time you remember, forgive again. And I wrote that person, I said, you know what, that's a dynamic word. A dynamic word, but it's a difficult thing to do. That's a dynamic
Lord,
word
yes.
because when you hurt, you hurt. And hurt people like to hurt people. And we all want to seek that measure of revenge. But I heard the Bible say, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. I've learned that the Bible said, in that you've done it to the least of mine, to the least of the little ones, you did it to me. And if you did it to me, it's better that you had a millstone tied around your neck and be cast into the midst of the sea than to hurt one of my little ones. So it's not about getting revenge, folks. It's not about getting revenge. You've got to learn how to forgive. Every time you remember the hurt. And hurts hurt. You hear what I'm saying? They hurt. I'm not going to minimize it. Hurts hurt. And if you've ever been hurt in church, you've been hurt. Because you hear what I'm saying? Church folk know how to hurt you.
Yes,
and you've got to learn that in life you're going to have instances. People are going to hurt you. Your mama going to hurt you. Your daddy may hurt you. Your friends may hurt you. Somebody may hurt you. Somebody going to say something. Somebody going to do something that's just going to irk you to the point that you're going to feel as though I've got to get back at them. I've got to deal with them. But Jesus was concerned about that. And he began to teach his apostles about the power of forgiveness. Forgiveness is not an easy thing to do, but you've got to learn how to do it. Why? Because what did the Lord's Prayer say? When Jesus taught them how to pray, he said, in other words, forgive us our trespasses. As we forgive those who trespass against us. If you can't forgive others, how do you expect God to forgive you?
I know that's great.
You've got to learn how to forgive. You've got to learn how to forget. I didn't say forget. I said forgive. You see, you learn how to forgive, but you keep people at a distance. You don't have to bring
that's
them
right.
back into your sphere. They ain't got to be your buddy, your ace boon coon, as they used to say. But you have to learn how to keep them at a distance.
I'm a witness.
at a distance. Keep them at a distance. Somebody said a long time ago, and I love that little axiom. It simply said, keep your friends close, but your enemies closer. Why do you keep them close? So that you can watch them. You can keep an eye on them. And you can watch what they do. See, because enemies are like snakes. I hate a snake.
Absolutely.
Because enemies are like snakes. They're subtle. They'll strike you when you least expect it.
That's right.
With a viciousness, and they strike with a venom, and some snakes can kill. Did you hear what I said? Because their bite is poisonous, and people will poison your reputation if you let them.
Yes, right. Yes, they will.
That's why the Bible tells you to be careful about your associations. You cannot be unequally yoked. You can't walk with people that are in darkness. If you're saved, your buddy should not be totally unsaved. I'm sorry. There's going to be a disconnect along the way because you're not walking together. How can two walk together except they agree? That's the book.
That's right.
You've got to learn how to put a distance, because, see, a snake will hurt you. I saw something on the Internet the other day that really stunned me. There was a woman who, you know, some people like to have these pet boa constrictors in their home and pet pythons, and you see them let the snake, you know, crawl all over their shoulders and they're walking around with them. And I said, how foolish. And I didn't realize how foolish it was until I read the story. The woman had a python in her home. It wasn't a great big one. It was a small one. But she found out something that was going on that was a little strange. She had the python. And the python stayed close to her. She kept that thing too close. She slept with it in her bed. The thing crawled around on her as she slept at night. And then she noticed something. The python stopped eating. She couldn't feed him. He didn't want anything to eat, and she didn't understand why the snake didn't want anything to eat. And so she took him to a veterinarian and told the veterinarian, my snake won't eat. I give him the best food. I give him everything that was recommended, but he just won't eat. And the doctor said, let me ask you a question. She said, yes. He said, do you sleep with that snake? And she said, yes. He said, do you let that snake get very close to you? I mean, do you walk around with that snake around your neck, around your shoulders? She said, yes. He said, let me ask you a question. When you go to sleep, have you noticed, does the snake curl or does the snake straighten out in lengthwise? And she said, well, you know, come to find out, think about it, he straightens out. And the veterinarian looked at her and said, Miss, get rid of the snake. Because the snake is not hungry now because he has smelt you. He has listened to your heartbeat. And what he's doing now is trying to decide how long he has to get before he can swallow you whole. Get rid of it.
Oh, Jesus.
And so, see, you got to learn how to leave snakes alone. When you find a snake, you kill it.
I know that's
you
right.
You kill it, or you get rid of it. And people are just like that. But when they bite, you see, it's just like you remember Paul when he was on the Isle of Melita, when they all had been shipwrecked. And he was sitting around the fire, and the Bible says a viper came out of the fire and bit him.
Yeah.
And what did Paul do? Paul shook it off. That's what you got to do. You got to shake some of these people that you're hanging with off. You got to let them go. But you got to learn how to forgive people who hurt you. You can't keep holding on to that. Anxiety. You can't keep holding on to the hurt. You can't keep nursing the hurt. You can't do it because you got to understand something. These these folks are going on doing about their business, and they ain't thinking about what they did to you. You're the one that's sitting there suffering. Let it go. Jesus, in this same story, and it's interesting because Jesus began to talk and gave a parable to the people when he was sitting around discussing this issue when Peter asked him the question. Peter said, God, how often should I forgive somebody who has wronged me, somebody who has hurt me? Seven times? And Jesus said, no, Peter, 70 times seven. 70 times seven. And then he spoke a parable. You know what a parable is.
That's right.
And let me just teach somebody, because somebody may not know. But a parable is a fictitious story that has some truth to it. Now, a parable, you know the difference between a parable and a true story, because whenever Jesus said a certain man or a certain woman, or there was a certain thing, or they'll say a certain rich man but does not give you a name, then you know that it's a parable. But if he ever tells a story and gives a name, it's reality. How do I know it? Because he sat there and he started telling us about Lazarus. There's a name. And the rich man. He didn't give us the name of the rich man, but he said, Lazarus. And he told you who Lazarus was, and he told you that Lazarus was sick, and he told you that Lazarus was a beggar. And he'd gone to the rich man's house every day begging for food, and the rich man laughed him off and pushed him aside, but they died. And the Bible said the angel of God took Lazarus and took him into Abraham's bosom, into paradise. But the Bible said the rich man died also, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. So if you don't believe in hell, then you're calling Jesus a liar, because Jesus said this was a true reality. That was a parable. But in this circumstance, he told Peter, he said, Peter, listen. He said, you know, son, there was a king who sat down one day and he began to take account of all the people who owed him. And so he called the various debtors in one by one. And one debtor owed the king millions of dollars. And he turned around and said to the debtor, I want my money. And if you don't have my money, you got a problem. And the debtor turned and looked at the king and said, Majesty, he said, listen, I'm doing the best I can to get you back the money that I borrowed from you, but I'm asking you to give me some latitude, give me some time. Some things have happened. The pandemic has come. It's just like somebody was saying today, the pandemic has come, and I can't get the supplies I need. I can't get the truckers to take the things that I've got to get to market. I don't have the wherewithal to pay you back right now. If you just give me a chance, I'll get you the money. Because the king said, if you don't get the money, and I never understood this, but this is the way they did it, he said, I'm going to sell you. I'm going to put you in prison, and I'm going to sell your wife and your children, and I'm going to get my money one way or the other. But the man fell at the king's feet and begged him, Majesty, forgive me. Give me a chance. And the Bible says, the king in his mercy, look at the king, in his mercy, had mercy on him and said, okay, I'll give you time. I'll give you time to get my money. There was a forgiveness of the debt. I'll give you the time. I'm not going to put you in jail. I'm not going to sell your family. I'll give you time. When you get it, give it to me. And the Bible said the man went out just happy, and he went through the courtyard, and he saw somebody who owed him $1,000. And he grabbed the man by the neck, Jesus said, and shook him and said, give me my money. I want my $1,000. I want it, and I want it now. If you don't give it to me, I'm going to throw you in jail, and I'm going to sell your children, and I'm going to sell your wife. And the man did the same thing to him that he did to the king. Fell at his knees and said, can you give me a break? Can you give me a chance? Can you just give me an opportunity? I'll do the best I can. And just help. Wait till the pandemic is over and I'll do something. I'll give you the money that you need. And the Bible said the man looked at him and got mad and had called the police. And when he called the police, he had him locked up and went to sell off his wife and children. And some of the courtiers who had been in the palace and heard what was going on went immediately to the king and said to the king, you know that man that you needed the millions of dollars to? He saw somebody that owed him $1,000. And what did he do, Majesty? He had him thrown in jail and is now going to have his wife and children sold. And the king got mad and turned around and said, go get him and bring him back here. And the Bible says he rebuked him for what he did and threw him in jail, all because he had not learned how to forgive. Learning how not to forgive will get you in a world of trouble, because it'll eat at you and eat at you. And you've got to let it go. You've got to let it go. You've got to learn how to let it go. Forgiveness is a real part of being a part of the Christian experience. You've got, Jesus said it. He said, you know what? You've got to pray for those who despitefully use you. I asked God, how do you do that? And then I found myself, you got to be careful what you ask God, because God will take you through the situation. He'll take you through the situation to show you how to do it.
Yes, he will.
I was
a witness.
I found myself in a situation where people had tried to set me up. Tried to set me up, tried to hurt me. And these were people that I had hired, but they tried to set me up because they wanted my position. They wanted to make me look bad. But God revealed what will happen to you. See, when you have the spirit of discernment, God will let you know who's for you and who's against you.
Yes, he will. I'm a witness. Yes, he will.
Tell them that you know what they're doing, because he'll let you understand. He'll show you day by day the plots that they're setting. But I remember when David turned around and said, when my enemies came upon me to eat up my flesh, glory to God, stumbled and fell. Said, though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear, because God will raise a standard.
Hallelujah.
Bible said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. You ain't got to do nothing.
Amen.
Sometimes you need to tell God, thank you for your enemy, because if it had not been for your enemy, you would not be where you are today, because the enemy pushed you to the throne of grace. It made you do like you went into the presence of the king. If I could just make it to the throne room. And because you went into the presence of the king, you became the strong person that you are today.
Thank you, Jesus.
Then, because David turned around and said, thou preparest a table, what before me, and what in the presence of mine enemies. God will let the very people who want to destroy you see him bless you.
Yes,
you think I'm talking about all you got to do? See, that's why you got to read the Bible. Joseph made a mistake. My namesake made a mistake. And he told folks something that he should have kept to himself. And when he told his secret to his brothers and his daddy and mama got upset with him. But
Wait
the brothers sold him into slavery. And for 13 years, he was separated from his father. For 13 years, he was a slave in Egypt. And a woman named Potiphar's wife turned around and sexually assaulted him, and he ran away from her. But she lied on him, and he went to prison.
Yes, sir.
Your enemy will hurt you. You hear what I'm saying? They will hurt you. But the Bible said, but the favor of God was on Joseph. And everything that Joseph touched, God blessed him with. And the people who tried to hurt him were the ones who had to bow down to him later, because God took him from the pit, from the prison, and made him the second person in Pharaoh's kingdom. And
yes,
he was able to save his brothers and sisters, the same brothers that tried to kill him. He saved them from starvation. And he turned around and told them, he said, and when he revealed who he was to them, they got nervous because they saw his power. And they knew that he was them. And they were scared, but he said, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. I can forgive you. Oh, I can forgive you because God's been good to me. I can forgive you. What you meant for evil, God meant for good. I'm getting ready to close. There's something else that I need to say, though, but because you got to see the power of forgiveness. You got to see what Jesus did. If anybody had a reason to be angry, it was him.
That's right now.
A reason to be upset, not only with the apostles, but with the whole system, it was him. Because the Bible said after he had left Bethany and they had walked, they didn't have no jeeps, they didn't have no chariots. They walked from Bethany to Jerusalem. That was more than 10 miles of walking during the course of a day. Then they got into Jerusalem and they had the Last Supper. But when they were at the Last Supper, Jesus recognized that his time to die had come. And the Bible said that he was not himself. And he was upset, and they knew he was upset because he wasn't talking like he normally talked. The Bible said he was sweating to the profusely. In other words, they noticed something was wrong. Something's up with Jesus. What's going on? But there was an inner battle going on with him because he knew he was going into the Garden of Gethsemane, and he had to talk to his Father. Every other time that folk tried to hurt him, he was able to escape, and he would say to them, my time has not yet come, but now he knows his time is near.
Yeah.
And the Lord of Preservation steps in, and Jesus turns around and says, maybe I can change the will of God. I got to get alone somewhere, and I can talk with him because some things are going down, and I don't like what's happening. Judas has just left the celebration and has gone off to be with Caiaphas and Ananias. He's betraying me. The treasurer, the person who I allowed to hold the money in my group, the person who walked with me and talked with me and saw me work the miracles, has gone to betray me. I got the other 11 with me, and we're going into the garden, but I got to tell 8 of them, you stay here while I take the other 3 with me. Sometimes you come to a place in life where you can't carry everybody with you. You got to go that thing alone.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Jesus got to the point where he said, even to the 3, James, John, and Peter, y'all stay here and just pray for me. I've got to go talk to my daddy. I've got to talk to God because something's getting ready to come down, and I really want to know if he can turn it around for me. And the Bible said the fellows sat down with every intention in the world of doing what Jesus had asked. But when Jesus went to God in prayer, he saw the cup. He saw a cup that had been prepared for him. He saw a cup. And the cup had your sin in it, and it had my sin. It had the sin of
it.
And it looked foul and nasty to him. And he said, I can't drink this. I can't take this. this, because if I take it, it'll separate me for the first time from my Father. I can't do it, God. I can't do it. I can't do it. Can you find another way? And he got no response from his Father. And he went back to the three that he had left to pray, and he found them asleep. Now, you can't be mad at those guys. They had walked between 10 and 20 miles that day. They had just eaten a big dinner. Now, you know how we are after Thanksgiving. We go eat, and you're going to find your little place to go and snooze. They were tired. That's why he said the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The boys were tired.
Yes.
They meant well, but they were tired. Jesus goes back again one more time to talk to his Father and still doesn't get the answer that he wants, and then goes back a third time. That's why I tell people all the time, stop lying to people and telling people you can't go back to God more than once and ask him about a situation, because Jesus did it.
Yes, he did.
But when he went back and he didn't get the response that he wanted, and sometimes you're not going to get the response from God that you want.
I know that's right.
Sometimes that response won't come like you want. It'll be yes, no, or wait. Or sometimes it'll just be, you got to wait for the fullness of my time, and I'll think about it. But you've got to learn how to wait. But Jesus showed us what to do. He turned around and said, okay, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And he took that cup, and he drank.
My Lord.
He took all your sin and he took all mine. And the Bible says, and the Lord sent an angel to him. Sent an angel to him to minister to him. And that's why some of y'all got to learn how to be kind to people who come your way, because a lot of times the Bible says God will send angels to you and you don't even realize them. You won't recognize them, but they'll be there to minister to you. People will come in the form of angels, or rather angels will come in the form of people to minister to you in your time of need. Have you ever been in a bad situation and you meet somebody who just has a right word to say to you at the right time? That's your angel.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Jesus.
I will say, be careful how you entertain strangers, because many of you have entertained angels unaware. See, I can talk about these things because I've had it happen to me. One day I'm standing on the corner downtown, getting ready to cross the street, and a car swung around the corner and almost hit me. And there was a fellow that was standing next to me. He looked at me. He said, "Wow, thank God for your deliverance." And I looked at him and I said, "Yeah." I said, "Are you saved?" And he said, "Why would you ask me that?" I said, "Because of the way you responded to what happened just now." And he said, "Yes, I know God. I know him." He didn't answer my question. He said, "Yes, I know God." And as we walked across the street, he started walking through the same area that I was going through to get into my building. And he said to me, "You know what? I want you to think about something." He said, you're concerned about things that are happening in your life right now. He said, "But don't worry about them. God's got your back." And I turned to look at him, and he was gone. He was gone. I looked to the left. I looked to the right. I couldn't find him. He was gone. And the Spirit of the Lord said, "Your angel just spoke to you."
Look out, Mom.
But let's get back to the story. Jesus is now being ministered to by the angel, and now comes the situation where the people are coming to arrest him. And Jesus, if you remember, had told Peter and the guys, he said, you know what? The devil has desired to sift all of y'all. And Peter, he's definitely decided to sift you. He's asked for permission, but he said, but I prayed for you.
Yes,
that when you'll come back and you will do what? You will bless the people that I've given you to minister to. And Peter turns around and said, you know what, God? He said, you know what? I'm going to be with you through thick and thin. I don't care what comes down the pipe. I don't care what's happening. I'm going to be there. And Jesus looked at him and said, Peter, before the night is over, before the cock crows in the morning, you will deny me three times, Peter, three times. You. The very one who said that I am the Son of the living God. And I told you that the gates of hell would not prevail against the statement you made. You, Peter, will deny me. The Bible said that when they came to pick Jesus up, Peter pulls out a sword and cuts the man's ear off. And in order to keep Peter out of prison, Jesus turns around and heals the man's ear instantaneously. But Peter runs away with the other apostles. They all ran from the circumstance. You know the ones that were going to fight to the end. They ran from him. They were with him for 3 years. They heard all of the wonders that he had to teach them. They saw the wonders and the miracles, but in troubled times, they ran from him. The only person that stuck by him was John because he gave his mother to John to watch over while he was gone. But Peter took enough time to just follow to see what was happening. And the Bible tells us that on three occasions, Peter denied Jesus. And on the last time, he went to cussing. Cussed the girl out. The preacher cussed the girl out.
No, I'm going.
And when the cock crowed, Jesus looked at Peter, and Peter looked at him. Peter saw what Jesus had said had come to pass, and the Bible said he ran away. Then we go to the cross and look at what Jesus does. When they nail him to the cross, one of the seven last words that he says is, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I could be mad at Judas, but if it wasn't for Judas, I wouldn't be giving my life right now. Judas was part of the plan. But mm-hmm. He didn't know what he was doing, God. Forgive him. And if Judas had just waited just a few more minutes, the very fact that Jesus said forgive him would have been enough to wash away the sin of what he had done. He would have been able to have the greatest testimony of all of the apostles. Peter would have said, I deny him, but Judas could have said, yeah, Peter, but I betrayed him, but he forgave me. Father, forgive them. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. And you know how you know they were forgiven? Because when Jesus rose from the dead and Mary Magdalene met him in the garden, he told her, go tell those fellas to meet me in the city.
Yes, sir.
Meet me in the city. And you know what he said? He said, and go tell Peter also. Tell Peter, because Peter thinks I don't love him anymore. Go get him and tell Peter I've forgiven him. Power of forgiveness is real. If Jesus can do it, so can you, and so can I. I've had to learn how to do that. You know what I'm saying? It's not easy, and it's not going to come easy. And I didn't tell you you had to forget what the person did, what about the people, but I like what that thing said. Every time you remember, forgive again.
Yes, sir.
But I'm forgiving you again. I'm forgiving you because I've got to move on with God. I can't let this hold me back. I can't become bitter by this. I'll never forget Rosie Wallace, one of the great evangelists and great songwriters. She said, God cares, but I was in a service one night where she preached a message, don't get bitter. Don't get bitter is a message that I heard some 30 years ago, but it rings in my spirit. Don't get bitter. Things come against you and people hurt you, but don't get bitter. The Bible told you, man that's born of a woman is a few days, and those days are full of trouble. You're going to have trouble. Don't you know that trouble works patience? These are the things that God utilizes to help make us stronger in him and brings us closer to him. You're going to have trouble. You got to move. There are going to be some rough times. Song said, I had some good days. I had some hills to climb. But through it all, God's been good to me. Ah, glory to God. He's been good to me. And so what? I'm not going to complain. I can't complain. He's just been good to me.
Yes, sir. Me too.
He's been good to me. See, I learned something, and I'm through. I learned something. Don't have a pity party and invite God to it. You hear what I'm saying? Have a pity party and invite God to it, because if he shows up, he'll shut it down. Glory to God.
Yes, he will.
Shut it down. That's how I know. A month ago, I sat in here because the spirit of depression had hit me. I have a problem with my eye and sight right now. They took away my driver's license and they took away some other things. And I asked God, how are you going to let this happen? You gave Paul back his sight. You gave Bob Mance and his buddy his sight. You gave a lot of other people their sight. You told me that you would restore everything that the canker worm took. You said, I am the Lord thy God that healeth thee of all of thy diseases. I'm telling you what your word said. But yet I'm in a bad situation right now, and I don't know how I'm going to come out of this. I don't know how to deal with this, because there are some things that you're going to go through. You're going to come to your Red Sea experience, and you're not going to see a way out. And God is going to have to tell you, like he told them, stand still and see my salvation.
Yes, sir.
You've got to learn how to work that word. He turned around and told me, I will do great and mighty things. And I'll make your ears tingle by the things that I do. And then I read the scripture said what God said, and God did that thing. What are you looking for? What are you expecting from God? What is it that the devil has said God ain't going to do for you? You've got to come to the realization that God is able. You've got to be like the three Hebrew boys. They told Nebuchadnezzar, listen, we know that God can deliver, but if he doesn't, he's still God nevertheless.
Yes, sir. He's still able. Yes, sir.
I had a pity party in my house, and I told God, I said, I don't understand what you're doing. I've done the best I can over these 56 years of being insane. I've done what you asked me to do, and now you let in the latter part of my life this come down on me. You let me get into this situation, and I can't go to a doctor and have it fixed because there's no cure for what you've allowed to happen. God, come on, going on. And all of a sudden, as I sat on the couch, a sound like a mighty rushing wind swept through my house. I know what the day of Pentecost must have felt like now, because I felt that experience, because a sound came rushing through the room, and I heard the Spirit of God say, I got you through this. I can get you through that.
Yes, sir.
Anything that you've asked me for in your lifetime, I've given to you. Where's your faith, son? Where's your faith? I am God, and beside me there is no other. Oh, you reminded me of the word. Now remind yourself of who I am. Remind yourself of what I can do. And let's see you put the word into practice now. You said I will bless the Lord at all times. You said my praise will continue to be in your mouth. Now you're in a situation where let me see you praise me. Even though you don't know how to fix the situation, let's see if you can praise me in the midst of this. I've done a whole lot for you. You look at where I bought you from. Look at what I've done for you. Look at the ways that I made for you. You want to question me? You want to be like Job? Oh, you want me to talk to you? Let me tell you what I've done. And by the time he finished, all I could do was raise my hands and go to praising and magnifying God. And as I began to praise and magnify God, the spirit of depression lifted, and all I could do was rejoice in my house. I was glad nobody was here, because all I could do was scream and holler and tell him, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for the ways you've made. Thank you for the doors you've opened. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, God. Thank you. Glory to God. Thank you. God knows how to shut down a pity party. You hear me?
Yes.
Oh, God, thank you for all he's done. He's able, folks. He's able. He's able. He's able. All you got to do is trust him. He's able. He's able. Father, we thank you. We praise you. We magnify and glorify your name, and we bless you. Now bless your people. Somebody's going through tonight. Somebody just needed to know that you can. They can make it now. They can make it. They can make it. They've heard my testimony. They've gone through now. We need you to stand by them and encourage them in the name of Jesus. That spirit of depression, lift it off of them. The devil is a lie. He can't have their minds. No, 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 no. No, God, there'll be no suicide. There'll be nobody taking their life because of what's coming upon them. The Bible said the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. God has said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor their seed begging bread. We've got a way out of all of our problems, and God, we thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray, thank you. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Overseer Jackson. Thank you so much for that powerful word. I like the way you brought the description of that serpent that the woman had in the bed with her. But you broke that thing down and you made it plain. So we just thank God for using you. And I want you to know, if I didn't let you know earlier, that now God has opened the door through the prison ministries. All the different prison ministries, all the prisons in the United States of America are able to hear this worldwide platform and be blessed by God's word. And not only this worldwide platform, but all ministries that I share with them through Facebook, they can now, another social media platform, they are now able to hear God's word and be saved in God's word. So I know that you're being a blessing to the body of Christ, and God is sure enough glorified through you on tonight. What a powerful word on tonight. Your message title was, When You Remember, Forgive Again. Oh, that was a word for every believer on tonight. We thank you in Jesus' name. Continue to stand on the wall. Continue to hold on to God's unchanging hand. Continue to keep the faith, because God is not through with you yet. We're going to close out not with our prayer on tonight, because we are beyond our time. We're going to close out with the musical selection of Pray For Me. The fervent prayers of the righteous still avail of much. Until this coming Saturday, continue to be blessed of the Lord. Know that I love you, and know that God loves you even more. Until then, continue to be blessed of the Lord. Good night.